Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reach people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, Joe McGee. Through the Bible, we're going from Genesis to Revelation. Great stories, one right after another. We're in Genesis chapter 29 today. We're talking about Jacob, and he meets Uncle Laban. Boy, Uncle Laban, he's a shrewd old boy, and he's trying to mess with Jacob. And so Jacob's worked long and hard to get his wives and have kids, and so it's been a mess. So now he's trying to leave and go back home. So we're going to pick this around, let's see. We'll jump in verse 30. Let's start at verse 34. He's talking to Laban. Laban's trying to get him to work out a deal because Laban doesn't want him to leave because he knows I've been blessed. Since Jacob's been there, his sheep have increased. His cattle have increased. His crops have increased. And Laban knows he's blessed only because Jacob's there because God's blessed Jacob. And Laban knows I'm only blessed because my nephew's here. He's brought this blessing, so I don't want him to leave. I don't want to lose this blessing. But Jacob knows he's got to go back home. So he tried to do a thing with him. I'll tell you what. And he'd made a deal. We'll make it easy. If you find in my flock any white sheep or goats that are not speckled, you know that I've stolen them. So let's make sure. I'll take the spotted, a speckled, and the black sheep. You can have all the others. Now he picked the smallest number that there would be because he knows he's trusting God. All right. Verse 34. All right, Laban replied. It will be as you have said. But that very night, Laban went out and removed all the male goats that were speckled and spotted, the females that were speckled and spotted with white patches, and all the dark-colored sheep, and placed them in the care of his sons. Then they took the 3 days' distance from where Jacob was. Meanwhile, Jacob stayed and cared for Laban's flock. Now, Jacob took fresh roots from poplar, almond, and plant trees and peeled off strips of the bark and made white streaks on them. Then he set them up and peeled these branches beside the watering trough so that Laban's flocks would see them as they came to drink. But that was when they mated. So they come to drink. That's also sometime they mate. Well, what's going to do? He's got these striped poles sitting next to the water so they can look at it. So when the flocks mated in front of the white speckled branches, all their offspring were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob had these to his own flock, thus separating the lambs from Laban's flock. Then at mating time, he turned the flocks toward the streaked and dark-colored rams of Laban's flock. This is how he built his flock, from Laban's. Whenever the stronger females were ready to mate, Jacob set up the peeled branches in front of them. But he didn't do this with the weaker ones. So the weaker lambs belonged to Laban. The strong ones belonged to Jacob. Woo, man, what a deal. As a result, Jacob's flocks increased rapidly. He became very wealthy with many servants, many camels, many donkeys. Why? God's with him. Starting chapter 31, but Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were beginning to grumble. Jacob has robbed our father, they said. All this wealth he has gained from our father at our father's expense. And Jacob began to notice a considerable cooling in Laban's attitude toward him. Then the Lord said to Jacob, you know, return to the land of your father and your grandfather and your relatives, and there I will be with you. So Jacob called Rachel and Leah out to the field where he's watching the flocks so he could talk things over with them. Your father has turned again. It's against me. He's not treating me like he used to, he told them. But God, the God of my father, has been with me. You know how hard we have worked. I've worked for your dad. But he has tricked me, breaking his wage agreement with me again and again. But God has not allowed him to take anything from me or do me any harm. For he said the speckled animals, which were mine, and the whole flock began to produce speckled lambs when he changed his mind. I could have the streaked ones, and then all the lambs would be born streaked. In this way, God has made me wealthy at your father's expense. I don't care what your father did to trick me. God always worked it out to my good. And God will do this for anybody, by the way. Just sort of a side note. If you belong to God, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, if you're a born-again Christian, spirit-filled believer, listen, you're in the body of Christ, God will bless whatever you put your hand to. So you just need to learn how to trust God and not try to manipulate people. So this way, God has made me wealthy at your father's expense. During the mating season, I had a dream, and I saw the male goats mating with the flock, were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then in my dream, the angel of God said to me, "Look, Jacob." I replied, "Yes, I'm listening." They said, "Look, and you will see that the streaked, speckled, and spotted lambs are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. I am the God that met you at Bethel, and the place where you anointed the pillar of stone, and made a vow to serve me. Now leave this country and return to the land where you came from." Rachel Lee said, "Well, that's fine with us. There's nothing for us here." Because they realized something. Our new husband is rich. He's blessed. Whatever he touches prospers. Now he's working hard and he's serving. But God's blessing whatever he puts his hand to. So, here it says, then, he said, he has reduced our fight to those foreign women, and that he sold us, and what we received, he has disapproved. The riches God has given you from our father are legally yours. This is his wife's talking to him. The riches you've gotten, our new husband, are legally yours, and our children that we bore with you. So go ahead and do whatever God has told you to do. So Jacob put his wives and his children on camels, and he drove the flocks in front of him, all the livestock that he had acquired at Padan Aram, and set on a journey to the land of Canaan, where his father Isaac lived. At the time he left, Laban was some distance away, shearing his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods and took him with her. Now, there's still, you got to think where, you know, Jacob's worshiping the true God, but his wives are still kind of halfway there. So when you read this story, you understand this is not a clean sheet. This is not a straight line. God never moves in a straight line. There's things happening everywhere. And so, anyhow, they stole some of their father's gods that he was worshiping, took them with him. They set out secretly and never told Laban they were leaving. Jacob took all his possessions with him, crossed the Euphrates River, heading toward the territory of Gilead. Laban didn't learn of their flight for 3 days, but when he did, he gathered a group of his relatives and set out in hot pursuit. He caught up with his servant days later in the hill country of Gilead. But the previous night, God had appeared to Laban in a dream. "Be careful about what you say to Jacob," he told him. So when Laban caught up with him, with Jacob, where he was camped in the hill country, where Gilead he set up, camped not far from him. "What do you mean by sneaking out like this?" Laban demanded. "Are my daughters prisoners, the plunder of war? Have you stolen them away like this? Why did you slip away secretly? I would have given you a farewell party, and a joyful signing away. Listen, I would have done what's right. You know, you blessed me. Why don't you let me kiss my daughters and my grandchildren and tell them goodbye? You have acted very foolishly. I could destroy you. But the God of your father appeared to me last night and said, he told me, be careful about what you say to Jacob. So I know how you must feel. So go along, you know, intensely with your children. Go along, but you have stolen my household gods." I rushed away because I was afraid. And Jacob said, I said to myself, he'll take his daughters from me. But as far as your household gods, you know, let the person who stole them, let them die. If you're anything else, I've taken, I swear before God. Because he didn't know that his wives had taken him. He said, man, if they took something, let them die. I didn't know that. I wasn't trying to steal you gods. And so Jacob didn't know that Rachel had taken them. Laban went first to Jacob's tent to search for them there. Then into Leah's tent and searched for the tents. Then the two concubines, but he couldn't find the gods. Finally went to Rachel's tent. Rachel had taken the household gods and had stuffed them into her camel saddle, and she was sitting on them. So, although Laban searched all the tents, he couldn't find them. Forgive my not getting up, father, Rachel said. I'm having my monthly period. And so, despite her the thorough search, Laban couldn't find them. Then Jacob became very angry. "What did you find?" he demanded to Laban. "What's my crime? You chased me though as a criminal. You have searched through everything that I own. Now show me what you have found and what belongs to you. Set it out in front of us, before our relatives, for all to see. Let them decide who the real owner is. 20 years I have been with you. All that time I cared for your sheep and for your goats, so they produced healthy offspring. For all these years, I never touched a single thing of yours, not a single piece of food. If there are any attack by wild animals, I killed the wild animals, and I protected your sheep and your goats. Did I show them to you and ask you to reduce the count of your flock? No, I took the loss myself. You made me pay for every animal stolen from our flocks, whether the loss was my fault or not. I worked for you through scorching heat and dry and cold and sleepless nights. These 20 years, 14 of them earning your two daughters and the 6 years to get the flock. And you have reduced my wages 10 times. Now, that's another thing. Can you imagine work for a company? Well, how's your job? Well, it's pretty good. What do they pay? Well, they pay me pretty good, but they cut my salary. What? Yeah. And then you meet them next month. Hey, how's it going? Well, good company I work for. What are you doing? Well, I work for them, but, you know, they cut my salary again. And so all of a sudden you realize, and you work for a company, if somebody cut your salary 10 times, as they say down home, Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. And so he cut his salary 10 different times and said, and you reduced my wages 10 times. In fact, except by the grace of God, the God of my grandfather Abraham, the awe-inspiring God of my father Isaac, you would have sent me away without a penny to my name. But God has seen your cruelty and the work that you have done. That's why he appeared to you last night and vindicated me. Then Laban replied, Jacob, these women are my daughters. These children are my grandchildren. These flocks and all that you have, all are mine. But what can I do now? What can I do now to my own daughters and grandchildren? Come now and let us make a peace treaty, you and I, and then we'll live by those terms. So Jacob took a stone and he set it up as a monument. He told his men, gather stones, pile them up in a heap. Jacob and Laban then sat down beside the pile of stones to share a meal. They named it a witness pile. This is a legacy. He said Laban's language and Caleb, since we made the stones, this is a witness pile. This pile of stones will stand as a witness to remind us of our agreement. Laban said the place is also called Mizpah. But Laban said, may the Lord keep watch between us and make sure we keep treaty. And while we're out of reach of each other's sight, make sure we're doing what's right, even if we can't see each other. We'll do what's right, even if nobody's looking. I won't know about you, and don't be harsh to my daughters or any other wives, because God's going to see it. So this heap of stones, this pillar, stand between us as a witness. So don't mistreat my daughters. Don't steal anything. You do what's right because it's right to do what's right. So that's the agreement that they made. So Jacob took oath before awesome God, his father, Isaac, to respect the boundary line. Then Jacob presented sacrifice to God and invited everyone to a feast. Afterward, they spent the night in the hills. Laban got up early the next morning, kissed his daughters and his grandchildren, blessed them, and then he returned home. So it's kind of an interesting event. Everybody was trying to trick somebody, except Jacob's trying to do what's right. He always tried to, hey, I'll work 7 years for your daughter. Well, he got tricked. He had to work another 7 years, so he had to work 14 years to get the wife he wanted. By the way, long story short, you know, he wanted Rachel. Well, he got stuck with Leah. But at the end of his life, now I'm jumping way ahead, when it was time for Jacob to be buried, he wanted to be buried with Leah, not with Rachel. Because he learned over those years, that woman, Leah, not only did she bear me great children, great sons, but she loved me. She did what was right. So though he had an option, you want to be buried by that beautiful woman, Rachel? No, I want to be buried with Leah. because he knew what real love was. And I've told this story so many times when I married people, you know, it takes time to get to know somebody, how much you love them, who's really responsible, who's not. And so it took a lifetime for him to realize, man, Leah, that, and one translation calls her a cow-eyed woman, cow eyes. He said, I want to be married with that cow-eyed woman because that woman loved me. She was good to me. She did what was right. I want to be buried with her. So be careful what you say to people. Life is just kind of a way of kind of working out strange things sometimes. But enjoy what God's given you. Be a blessing to all those you meet today, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.